This week is, I mentioned before, the birthday of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. And, you know, from all the messages and all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, we look for what is the core teaching of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. What was the main chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? And we can look at many different things. But I think the greatest contribution of the Holy Baal Shem Tov was the Baal Shem Tov revealed the beauty of the Jewish people. The Baal Shem Tov elevated the Jewish people so high, so high. And his name was Yisrael, because he came to uncover the greatness of the Jewish soul, the infinite heights of the Jewish soul, the infinite depth of the Jewish soul. And I was once walking with someone, and we were talking about the Baal Shem Tov, and he mentioned to me that it's not like the Baal Shem Tov was only teaching us about the greatness of the Jewish people. The Baal Shem Tov was revealing to Hashem too the depth of the Jewish people. In other words, Hashem's relationship with us is on many, many levels, deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes you need an outsider to tell you how much you love your own children, how deep your connection is to your child. And the Baal Shem Tov, he uncovered, I mean, the love, we're dealing with levels so deep in the essence that is what we might call, it's hard to relate to Hashem, deeper than consciousness, something that is of essence. And the Baal Shem Tov revealed the essential, the essence of the bond of Yisrael, V'kutcha Beruchu Kul Echad, how Yidden and the Eibishter are one. And as a result of that came the endless love that the Baal Shem Tov had for every single Jew, the Avos Yisrael. As the Holy Magid, the disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, said, if only I can kiss the Sefer Torah with the love that the Baal Shem Tov kissed the little children, that he took them when he was the Rebbe's helper, before the Baal Shem Tov was known as this great tzaddik and mystic incredible tzaddik like the world hasn't seen for generations and generations. Before that, the Baal Shem Tov was hidden, and he worked with little children. But he wasn't, like you would say, a malama, the teacher. And some people feel it's like below their dignity to teach little children, because they have to teach scholars. Not only that, the Baal Shem Tov wasn't even the teacher. He was the teacher's helper. He took the kids to the restroom. He brought them here, brought them back, cleaned them, took them to shul, took them back. And that was his honor, that he had little kids. And his love for the children, he kissed these little kinderlach with such love that the Magid said, I wish that I can kiss a Sefer Torah with the love that the Baal Shem Tov kissed little children. Every single, because the love of the Baal Shem Tov to Yidden was phenomenal. And he taught us to love Jews in that way. So if we look for the core essence of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching, it's the greatness of the Jewish people. So therefore we have to say that in Parshas Kisavo, there is something about the maila and the quality of Yidden. So first, which we're not going to speak about tonight, the first mitzvah of Parshas Kisavo is the mitzvah of Bikurim. And we know that in the gifts and the presents that we give, Bikurim is the first fruits that we have to take to the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that in the gifts that we give, every Jew has to give from his produce various different gifts. The first thing we give is Bikurim, and that we bring to the Holy Temple. Then we take the next gift, which is Truma, and we give that to the Kohen. And then we give the next gift, which is Maaser, a tenth, tithing, and we give it to the Levi. Okay, so there's a whole order of gifts that we give, mentioned this week in the Parsha. So according to the mystical element of things, each one of these represents very things that are higher than the world, things that are holy, things that are sacred, and therefore we separate them. They're not part of the ordinary. And what's the first thing? Bikurim. Bikurim symbolizes the Jewish people. There's a pasuk. I don't want to quote the pasuk because I didn't look it up today and I don't remember it. But there's a pasuk that says, I've seen your fathers as like the Bikurim, like the first, te'ena, like the first figs, I've seen your fathers. The Jewish people are Bikurim. The Torah is Truma. Truma, the Zohar says, stands for Torah Mem, the Torah that was given to 40 days, because Moshe went up to receive the Torah for 40 days. Which means that Bikurim, that just the mitzvah of Bikurim, is emphasizing the greatness of the Jewish people even beyond the Torah. As we spoke 2 weeks ago, that the essence of the Jewish neshama transcends the Torah and is deeper than the Torah. That's why Bikurim come first, and then comes Truma. And after that is Maaser and various other levels of holiness. There's nothing holier, there's nothing godlier, there's nothing more sacred than the Jewish people. And that we have right at the beginning, Parshas Ki Tsavo. However, later in the Parsha, again, we find a lot of reference in this week's Parsha about the depth of the connection of Hashem to Israel, to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu, at his conclusion of after he reviews all the mitzvahs, the last, from the beginning of Deuteronomy, from the beginning of Devarim until now, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing chazara, it's Mishneh Torah, of all the mitzvahs, and there's some new mitzvahs that we haven't heard about earlier, but we have it now. And now in Parashas Ki Tsavo, he summarizes, he's coming to the conclusion. And he speaks of the sum total of everything. This is by Shlishi Pasuk Tezayin. He says, Ayom azeh Hashem Elokecha metzavcha. You should know that all these commandments that I've just reviewed with you, it constitute the bris, the covenant that you have with God as a holy nation. First of all, you should know that this should never become ancient. It should never become old. It should never age. It's fresh. It's new. It's like it happened today. Hayoyim azeh Hashem Elokecha metzavcha. Today Hashem commands you. La'asis es achuka me'ela. To do all these commandments. V'samishpatim and the laws. V'shamarta v'sisa oisam. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. With all your heart and all your soul. And then, why? Why is this so important? Because you and God are so deeply connected. This relationship is so deep. It's so strong. And Moshe summarizes it in two very special psukim. Es Hashem ha'amarta hayom. Moshe says, you selected God. Es Hashem ha'amarta hayom. Today, you selected Hashem. Today and from today on, forever, every day, we're selecting, we proclaim Hashem from all the other gods. So the Jewish people single out Hashem as the God, the creator, the power in the world, as opposed to all the confusion that the nations in the world were confused and attributing power to some other forces. You have selected Hashem and proclaimed for thousands of years, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So as Hashem Amarta Hayoyim, you have proclaimed God's unity, Liyos L'chol Elokim, to be to you for a God, Ulaleches B'drachav, and to go in His ways. You've committed yourself to go in Hashem's ways, Lishmar, and to observe His commandments. And then a Pasuk Yudches, V'Hashem Hemircha Hayom. And Hashem has chosen you, has selected you today, Liyos Loi Liyam Segula, to be to Him for a treasured people. Kashadibalach, like He spoke to you, Elishma Kol Mitzvosav, to observe all of His commandments, Ulisitcha Elyoin Al Kol Hagoyim. And Hashem has selected you to make you above all the nations, Asher Asa, all the nations that Hashem has made. And Hashem has put you above the nations, litihila, for praise, which means that all the nations should sing your praises and recognize the greatness, the importance of the Jewish people. Ulashem, for a name, you should be known all over the world. Ulaseferes, and for splendor and for beauty, that the whole world should see the beauty of Israel. Uliyoscha am kadosh l'Hashem elokecha, so that you can be a holy nation for God, kasha diber, like Hashem has spoken. So we're speaking of the uniqueness of, we have designated God as our God. God has designated the Jewish people as His people in this world. That's the summary after the conclusion of all of the Torah. This is what it's all about. It's all about you selecting Hashem, and Hashem has selected you. This is a designated relationship. There were others out there, but He has chosen us and we have chosen Him. And now we are bonded together forever. This is what the Torah says. Now, it's interesting that it says in Chassidus and different places that this Es Hashem Hamarta Hayom, that Hashem has chosen us and we have chosen Him, is alluding to not only to something that happened at Har Sinai when God chose Israel and Israel chose Hashem, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael chose Hashem and Hashem chose the Jewish people, but this is referring to a reoccurring thing. As Hashem Amarta Hayom, on some level we do it every day, but really it also refers to our yearly coronation. Rosh Hashanah is coming. Parshas Ki Tsavo is always read before Rosh Hashanah, preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So the pasuk is already alluding to the upcoming coronation of Hashem, in which Hashem, and what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? The main essence of Rosh Hashanah is crowning Hashem as a king over the world. And that's what the pasuk means. Es Hashem ha'mircha hayom. We select God and we proclaim Him as master of the world. And it's not only that we acknowledge God as master over the world, but we actually make Him the king over the world. And Hashem accepts our crowning. He accepts our coronation. And that is what it means, as Hashem emircha hayom. From all the billion gazillions creatures that exists in all the worlds, and in the higher realms above, everybody is singing, everybody's participating, everybody is joining in the song of Rosh Hashanah to proclaim God as the sovereign master and the ruler of all of the creation. But Hashem does not, that's not what triggers Hashem to be king over the world for another year. That's not what gets him excited. Doesn't turn him on. All the praise coming from all of existence. The only ones who get to God's heart are the Jewish people down here in this world. Neshamas, souls that make Hashem as king, that Hashem accepts. Because you have crowned me as your people. And that's the meaning. Hashem has selected you to reign over you. It's because you submit to His kingdom, that's what makes him king. So these two psukim explain so much of the depth, but here of this bond, that we make it all happen. We make it happen for the entire world. But over here is where something very, very extremely deep is revealed about the nature of Israel, the nature of the Jewish people. Because as we know, that every Rosh Hashanah, we have to reconstruct God's kingship, Hashem's malchus. Because it says that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem withdraws. The day before Rosh Hashanah, Hashem withdraws from His attribute of kingship. He retracts His desire of being a king. He goes back into His infinite, endless self, a place where He has no relationship with the world at all, where the worlds become absolutely meaningless, of no value at all. And there is a danger, God forbid, every era of Rosh Hashanah, going into Rosh Hashanah by night. The mystics, Kabbalists, and great tzaddikim were terrified every Rosh Hashanah. There was such fear, such dread, because it's a moment when Hashem, like, withdraws. It's like the whole program, the whole project isn't interesting to Him. And we have to excite Him again on Rosh Hashanah. We excite Hashem. We rekindle God's passion to be a king over the world. And we reignite His delight and His pleasure that He has from us finite beings serving Him. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. The question is like this. If Hashem retracts from the world Rosh Hashanah Eve, and He's not interested in a creation, that means that creations become absolutely naught. How does the world exist, Rosh Hashanah? Because our entire existence is based on God wanting us as His subjects, right? Hashem wants us as His subjects, and we are actualizing the Eibishter's Malchus, Hashem's kingship, Hashem's monarchy. You can't be a king unless you have a nation, so we are His nation. And that's why the creation, that's the soul of creation, the realization of Hashem's desire to be a king. If Hashem retracts and there is no desire to be a king, so there is no soul in creation. If there's no soul in creation, then there's no existence. Then the creation can't exist, especially based on what we spoke last week, that creation is an ongoing, perpetual thing. It's not something that happened once. So we only exist as a result of Hashem's desire to be a king over us. So how does the world exist? So there's an answer given, that the world is sort of on autopilot, Rosh Hashanah by night. Hashem is not really engaged. He keeps it in existence, but without interest, without heart and soul. Okay, so that answers the very existence of the world. But now the question is like this. That's true about everything else. We're saying, however, the Jewish people have to evoke within God a desire to be a king. How do we do so? By our proclamation in shul. Hashem melech, Hashem moloch, Hashem yimloch li'olam voed. We sing these beautiful pieces in the machzers. We join along every shul with their own song and their own way of saying it. But we're all proclaiming together in unison Hashem's kingdom. Again, Hashem melech, Hashem moloch, HaMelech. And it's so beautiful. We have no idea what these songs everybody in their own way, but this goes up and creates such exquisite delight in heaven. And primarily the sound of the shofar, which expresses the deepest yearning of our souls, that we should be part of the realization of Hashem's dream and desire of being a king over the world. Right? And that evoked by Hashem, the desire to be a king. The question is, however, in order to reach God, we have to get into His heart. That means we have to be very important. We have to be very, 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 we have to be not, we can't be external beings. We have to be very deep, reaching, touching Hashem in His most inner place. But didn't we say Rosh Hashanah that Hashem goes back to a place where He retracts from the creation, so there is no creation? It definitely doesn't have a lot of meaning where we're finite to an infinite being, finite. Any finite entity is nothing. So how can we, the Jewish people, reach Hashem when we've turned, when we're non-existent? We're virtually non-existent. So who are those who make Him king? There has to be someone who makes Him king so that He can accept it and become a king. But if our, see, we're a regular king, there is a nation, there is a people, there is a country that is important, significant, and that is meaningful in the eyes of the king, that the king, and for the king, it's, look, I have become a king over this great nation. But for Hashem, the creations become non-existent. So who is making Him king? So we have to say that the existence of the Jewish people is not part of Hashem's kingship. We don't exist only, exclusively, as a result of Hashem wanting to be king. We are way above that. Because if not, if our existence is derived from Hashem's malchus, then we only exist after the shofar. We don't exist before the shofar. Who's blowing shofar? Who is the Jew who's emanating a cry, I want you to be king, if there is no Jew then? There is no creation. There's no desire for existence. So there must be that in Rosh Hashanah something very, very deep is revealed. The existence of Israel prior to creation. Deeper than creation. Similar to the idea that the sages say, Yisrael alu b'machshava, that the Jewish people arose in God's thoughts before creation. Before creation means not only before practical creation. Before creation means before the concept of creation. We don't exist as part of a creation realm. We exist because we exist on some utterly godly level of existence. We find this also that when it says when Hashem was deliberating in the beginning of creation, Hashem was deliberating if He should create or not create. And it says He went to consult. Who did He consult with? With the souls of tzaddikim. If He should create or not create. But if they only exist, if tzaddikim only exist after Hashem creates, because who are the tzaddikim? The tzaddikim are the righteous in the world. So how can He consult with beings about creating them before He creates them? So obviously, again, this tells us that the souls of tzaddikim, and when we say tzaddikim, we don't mean three people in the generation who are big tzaddikim, right? We mean everybody. Amech kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim. Why are we tzaddikim? Because the Jewish people are tzaddikim. And the Jewish people exist when Hashem deliberated with us if He should create or not. And we gave Him the go-ahead. And we inspired Him to create the world. So again, that itself, that too says about the being of the Jewish people prior to creation, higher than creation and beyond creation. This is illustrated and this is emphasized in this parsha and in these psukim that we had just spoken. As Hashem hamarta, Hashem hamircha hayom. To understand this and to see what is the preciousness of Israel in this place, let's take a look for a moment at the, I made a copy at the psukim. It says over here again, Hashem hamarta hayom, Hashem chose you, selected you. Liyos lechol alokim, let me get open. Hashem has chosen you. Right? The first pasuk I made, Hashem hemircha hayom, Hashem has chosen you. Liyos loy la'am segula. Hashem has chosen you that we should be to Him as a treasured nation. Kasha dibalach like He spoke to you, elish makom mitzvosef. So I'd like you to follow me into a Rashi. And as we've seen in the past, and we've done this a few times, but I do want to tell you that this time it's not. Sometimes it gets very technical. This time it's not so technical. It's just a little bit. I'd like you to follow me into a Rashi. It seems to be, we'll do a little nitpicking in the Rashi, but out as a result of this, something magnificently great in the understanding and the appreciation of who the Jewish people are is going to come out. So, on Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Hashem says, Hashem has chosen you to make you into a treasured people, kashadibalach, like he spoke to you. So Rashi makes a comment on the word kashadibalach, like God spoke to you. And Rashi says, Rashi wants to tell us, when did Hashem speak to us that we will be a treasured people? So Rashi says, v'yisem li segula. This is referring to what Hashem said to us prior to the giving of the Torah. When Hashem was initiating the giving of the Torah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people that if they accept the Torah, v'yisem li segula, you will be to me, segula, a treasured people. So that's what he means over here. Hashem has selected you to make you a treasured people, like he told you then that you will be his treasure. Good. Then we continue on in the next pasuk. Hashem continues the greatness of Israel, greatness of the Jewish people. L'sitcha elyon al kol agoyim, Hashem makes you, will put you above all the nations. Asher asa that he has made, l'tuhilu l'shem teferes. U'liyoyscha am kadosh, so that you can be a holy nation. L'Hashem elokecha, to Hashem your God. Kasher diber, like he has spoken. Again, Rashi feels, okay, when did Hashem say we will be a holy nation? So Rashi makes a comment. The next Rashi, pasuk yutes. U'liyoyscha am kadosh, kasher diber. Rashi says, when did Hashem speak and say we will be a holy nation? It says in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, v'hiyisem li kedoshim. We will be to him holy. Hashem says, you will be to me a holy people. So these are the two references where Hashem, in the first time it says kashadiba, we will be Hashem's treasure. It says before the giving of the Torah, v'hiyisem li segula. And then it says you will be a holy people. In the end of, in Leviticus, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra, it says v'hiyisem li kedoshim. The question over here is, most people read very quickly and we don't take a moment to think. But if you think, this Rashi is very problematic. Obviously, we understand that Rashi isn't just writing when he's... Rashi didn't write his Pirush when he was tired. Rashi wrote his Pirush with full alertness. And every word he's writing is precise for a reason. So, when Rashi wants to tell us, where did Hashem say we will be a holy people? So Rashi says, it says in the end of the Parshas Kedoshim, v'yisem li kedoshim. And I mean, this is so clear. First of all, in Parshas Kedoshim, at the very beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, the name of the Parsha, Kedoshim to you, you should be holy. And then there's so many other references in Vayikra earlier, in the end of Parsha Shemini, there's another pasuk, you will be holy people. But more than that, Rashi just said, where does it say, v'yisem li segula, you will be my treasured people? That says by Matan Torah, before Hashem gave the Torah. In that very same conversation, when Hashem says you will be a special people, it says, "Va'atem ti and li, you will be to me mamleches kohanim, a kingdom of priests or a kingdom of ministers, v'goy kodesh, and a holy people." So if Rashi's already thinking about Parshas Yisro, in which we just stated that the Jewish people will be a holy people, so then, obviously, the next time it says Kashadiber, like he spoke, it's also the Yisam Li Kedoshim, you will be holy. From when Hashem says in Parshas Yisro, V'atam Tiyam Li, you will be to me, go Kodesh, a holy people. Why does Rashi suddenly have to switch? And he doesn't bring the Pasuk in Yisro, and he waits till Vayikra. And in Vayikra itself, he skips over a few times it says Kedoshim, and he finds the last, I don't know if it's the last time, but one of the times the Torah says it, of V'yisam Li Kedoshim, you will be to me as a holy people. We have to say there is a reason for this. Could have selected the Goy Kodesh stated right at the beginning. And the very same. Now, the other Mefarshim say that. You would think, you know, the Sephorinu over here says, when it says, Kashadiba, like Hashem spoke, he points to Yisro. It says over there, V'atem Tiyim Li, you will be to me Goy Kodesh. The Orachayim, another Pirish, says it's referring to Yisro. So is the Alshech. So is the Shach on the Torah. So you have so many Mefarshim, and they all point to that place. Rashi, some reason, he stops. He doesn't say, and he purposely skips over, and he waits for Parshas Kedoshim. We need to understand why. Possibly we could answer, let me just give a possible answer, is that over here it says, Rashi's reading the words very carefully, over here it says, it doesn't just say we're going to be holy. In our verse it says, you will be holy for God. La Hashem Elokecha. You will be holy for Hashem. So therefore, Rashi was looking for a reference in where it says clearly not that we will be holy, but that we will be holy for Hashem. And what's the difference? I'm just thinking. Sometimes you have people that are so caught up in their holiness, it doesn't seem that they're being holy for Hashem. It becomes a self-indulgent holiness. And usually not the type of Jew that is shining light. We're talking about a holiness that you can see that this is a godly holiness, Hashem. So therefore Rashi chooses to wait for Parshas Kedoshim, because over there it says V'hiyisem li Kedoshim. That's a reference. That's the first time the Torah says you will be for me holy. Okay? That would be maybe a nice answer. The problem with that is, while we can't say that motivated Rashi to wait till Parshas Kedoshim, for a simple reason. Rashi is always very careful and precise with the words he chooses to write in his heading. When you learn Rashi carefully, you always have to look at his heading. What's the words that he chooses to quote from the Pasuk? Those are the bolded words in every Rashi, the big words. So those words. So it's interesting how Rashi goes over here. Rashi says, Uli yoischa am kadosh, you will be a holy nation. And then he says, kasher diber. Now it's interesting over here, by the way, I chose to, by mistake, this was not by accident. I made copies, everything is bashgacha, but by act, is that I didn't intend it. I chose to make a copy from this chumash. This chumash has the word vegomer in the middle, which means an etc. If you're going to look almost in every chumash, it doesn't have the words vegomer. It doesn't say vegomer, which means Rashi deliberately, it just says, v'ilyoyscha am kadosh kasha diber, to be a holy nation like he spoke. Rashi deliberately skips the two words, L'Hashem Elokecha. He quotes, L'hiyoyscha, look in the Pasuk. L'hiyoyscha am kadosh, you will be a holy nation. He skips the words, L'Hashem Elokecha, and he says, Kasha Diber. If we're saying that Rashi's entire reason why he chooses Vayikra over Yisro, where it says the first time am kadosh, is because here is where it says you will be holy to God, then why did he dafka choose those two words he leaves out in his heading? He should have left those in. That's his main proof. Why he's using that when Hashem says, like I spoke, he means the speaking later in Parshas Kedoshim. Why does he omit it? The reason he, so that tells you that must have not have been Rashi's motivation. So we need to figure out what motivated Rashi to wait for Parshas Kedoshim. Okay? Second question. We said earlier that when Rashi quotes his quotations, whenever he quotes something, he quotes the words he chooses to quote before he gives his explanation is precise. It's not just like that. So let's see, in both Psukim, in Yud Ches and Yud Tes, in both of them Rashi's explaining what means kasher diber, like he spoke. The interesting thing is in Pasuk Yud Ches, Rashi just quotes the last few words. Kasher diber lecha, like he spoke to you, and he says what it is. Ve'isem li segula, you will be a special people. In the second pasuk, in pasuk yutes, he doesn't just explain kasher diber. He includes in his diber hamaschil, in his word that he's quoting from the pasuk, he's including what God is saying, and then he says kasher diber, like he spoke. Like Hashem spoke to you, what did he say? You will be holy. How come in the first Rashi doesn't say V'yisem li segula kasha diber lach, like he spoke to you? He doesn't quote the words from our pasuk. He only quotes the last few words, kasha diber lach, because that's what he's explaining. The words la'am segula says already in the pasuk. Rashi doesn't have to quote that. Rashi is only explaining what does it mean kasha diber. When did Hashem speak? What? Look, you have eyes. Look in the pasuk. La'am segula, you will be a nation. So Rashi's only quoting kasha diber lach, and telling you when did Hashem ever speak this? Oh, see, he tells you in Parshas Yisro, Hashem spoke this. How come in the second Rashi, there's a long Rashi makes cut and paste a much larger part. That base to summarize my question, because it might be some of you are confused. My question is, how come over here Rashi zeroes in on the words that he explains, and he cuts and pastes only three words, kasher diber lach, like he spoke to you. He doesn't say v'yisam li segula. In the second Rashi, he does say uliyoscha am kadosh kasher diber, like he spoke. So the kasher diber is enough, but why does he have to say liyoscha am kadosh? So all this, all these little nuances, give us great understanding of what Rashi was really explaining over here. So the idea is as follows. Okay, let's first understand this Rashi on a very simple level, and from this we're going to derive great depth in the depth of the Jewish soul of the Jewish people. And here's the idea. You see, whenever the Torah speaks of the Jewish people being, I just would like to make, before we get to the answer, to make the question that we had before we had asked the question, how come Rashi doesn't quote Parshas Yisro, where over there it says, you will be a great nation, v'yisam li segula, you will be a treasured people, you will also be a holy people. It seems so clear, almost, to the eye, that our psukim over here in Parshas Kisavo is referring to Parshas Yisro. Why? Because in Parshas Yisro it mentions three things God says the Jewish people will be. Three things. Number one, Hashem says, you will be segula, you will be a chosen nation. My treasure. Number two, Hashem says over there, you will be mamleches kohanim, you will be a kingdom. And Rashi explains kohanim does not mean priests, like usually. Rashi says kohanim means ministers. Hashem is saying you will be ministers of the world. Number three, Hashem says you will be an am kadosh, a go kadosh, a holy people. These are the three things that it lists about this, the greatness of Israel, the greatness of the Jewish people. In Parshas Yisro, three things. Now, in Parshas Kisavo, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, remember what God said last time? He lists also the same three things. So why? What does he list? Let's see the three things. He says, number one, Hashem emircha hayoyim lias loy liyam segula. Hashem has chosen you to be an am segula. That's the same as v'yisem li segula. That matches up. The second thing he says, l'sitcha elyoyin al kol agoyim, Hashem has made you superior to all the nations, put you above all the nations. That fits right with what? You will be mamleches kohanim. You will be a kingdom of ministers. That means you're elyon, you're above. So there's the puzzle, it matches. And the last thing is, am kadosh, you will be a holy people. Like it says in Yisro, goy kadosh. The three match the three, perfect puzzle. If you were making a jigsaw puzzle, you couldn't have found the order of how the Torah lays them out. All three over here. Here he says, like Hashem promised you then, and they fit so nicely together. Rashi ruins it all by suddenly sending you the Parshas Kedoshim. Why? Truth, the other Mefarshim, I mentioned Sepharno before, point this out. They say this is parallel. Like Hashem spoke by Matan Torah, Rashi's changing it. Why? The answer is Rashi was bothered by one little nuance, one little thing. And that is that how come the Torah divides these two qualities into two psukim? Not only does the Torah divide the two qualities into two psukim, but there's actually a hefsek. There is an interruption between the two qualities. If we are talking about two qualities that Hashem has chosen the Jewish people and made them very special in two ways. What are the two ways that Hashem made the Jewish people special? Number one, they are his treasure. And number two, they are a holy people. And the third thing also, but we'll talk about those two. That you are. Then how come the two aren't connected one right after the other? How come it's not, should have been, Liyos Liam Segula, you'll be in the and Vagoy Kaddish and a holy people. The problem over here is that not only the Pasuk puts it in two psukim, but it's interrupted with Lishmar Kol Mitzvoisav. You observe all of God's commandments. What is the problem with that? That's already a whole different thing. See, first we're talking about things that Hashem has made us special. Hashem made us special, we're his treasure. Hashem made us special, he made us holy. These are things that God did for us. If that's the case, it should have been together, one after another. The fact that the Torah in the middle puts Lishmar Kol Mitzvos as something that we do to ourselves, we observe Hashem's commandments, that's already interrupting. First we're speaking about what Hashem does for us, and then suddenly in the end of this pasuk, Lishmar Kol Mitzvos, and then it says, Eliyoscha Am Kodesh, you will be a holy nation. Here there is a hefsek in between. Now, to prove and to illustrate that the two belong together all the time, it should have been together, take a look, we take a look in all the other times in the Chumash. Now, if you're not very knowledgeable in Chumash, we don't learn Chumash carefully, then we miss it. But if you go through all the times the Torah speaks of, and I'm going to quote to you two places, in which the Torah speaks about these two qualities, the Torah says them in succession, one after another. And the first one is in Parshas Ve'eschanan. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, Perek, where is it over here? Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Listen clearly. Ki am kodosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha. You are a holy people to Hashem. Becha bachar Hashem Elokecha liyos loy liyam segula. And Hashem has chosen you to be a treasured people. So you have the two back to back, one after another. You're a holy people, and Hashem has chosen you to be La'am Segula. The two of them are intrinsically connected one to the other. Let's go to the next one. Parshas Re'eh is another one. And Parshas Re'eh, Banim Atam Hashem Elokeichem, you're children to God. And Pasuk Bey says, this is in Perik Yudalit Pasuk Beis, Ki Am Kodosh Atal Hashem Elokecha, you're a holy nation to God. And in you, Hashem has chosen to make you a treasured people. So you have everywhere when the Torah makes reference of the qualities of the Jewish people as being what? Treasured by God and a holy people. It's together. Because they come in succession. These are two things Hashem has done to us. He made us holy and He made us precious. The fact that in our pasuk, there is an interruption. There is in the middle of first it says what Hashem has done for us, is that Hashem has made us segula. And then it says, lishmar kol mitzvos, that we will observe Hashem's commandment, is suddenly putting pressure on the Jewish people in a sense. You got to keep my commandments, and then kiyam kodesh, then you're a holy people. Implying what Rashi saw from this, it's a tiny little nuance, but when Rashi's learning very carefully, he says, this is changing the nature. It's changing it's changing the character of what's going on. Is that the first pasuk is speaking about holiness, something that has to do with Hashem himself. Hashem has chosen the Jewish people and made us segula, made us special. The second pasuk is talking about holiness of the Jewish people, but a holiness that is connected to and as a result of what we do to become holy. It's something that we are becoming holy. That's why, from there, Rashi knew that we're talking about so therefore, we know that it cannot be, Rashi knew when it says you'll be holy, it cannot be referring to the Goy Kadosh that is stated in Parshas Yisro. Because in Parshas Yisro, when it says that you will be a holy people, the Goy Kadosh is continuing on to what Hashem is doing for us. It says, Ve'yiz Hashem will make you segula, and it says that you will be Goy Kadosh. The Eibishter is making you holy. From Rashi was looking for a place where it emphasizes not Kedusha coming from above, because Hashem makes you holy, but Kedusha that comes from the fact that you are becoming holy, connecting to the Jewish people making themselves holy. A pa'ula, an effect from below. How did Rashi know that that is the defining difference between the two psukim? How did we know that that is it? The difference is, here it's work that we have to do. And this is a gift from above that we are holy. Rashi took it, discerned that from just one little thing. You see, in Pasuk Yud Ches, when it speaks about the Jewish people being special, it says, Kasher Diber Loch. The second pasuk, when it says you will like that you're holy, it says kasher diber. It doesn't say kasher diber loch, like he spoke to you. It says like he spoke. What's the difference? Now again, these are one pasuk after the other. How come the first pasuk says kasher diber loch, like he spoke to you, and the second pasuk doesn't say kasher diber loch, like he spoke to you? Here is where Rashi found the clue. This is what told Rashi what the difference of the first pasuk and the second pasuk is. Rashi had already told us a rule in Bereishis, and Rashi repeats this rule a few times. Every time it says loch next to speech, when it says kasha diber loch, or he spoke loy to him, Rashi says it never means speaking to him, it means speaking about him. Whenever it says, whatever, kol li v'loi v'hem, every time it says to li, loi, to him, lahem, to them, next to the word diber, it never means one person speaking to the other, it means speaking about that person. And that's the difference between the first pasuk, the first pasuk over here, and the second pasuk in Parshas Kisova, Yudches and Yutes. In Yudches, here we are, one moment here, in Yudches, it says, when it says, V'yisem li segula, you will be to me a special people, what does it say? It says, Kashe diber lach, like he spoke about you. Kashe diber lach, like he spoke about you. The second pasuk just says kashe diber. And that's where it's all, that's the difference. The first pasuk is Hashem is speaking about us. It's about us. Where does Hashem speak about the Jewish people? About who the Jewish people are going to be? Hashem speaks about the Jewish people in Parshas Yisroi. Hashem is telling Moshe that the Jewish people are going to be so and so. They're going to be great people. They're going to be a treasure. They're going to be special. They're going to be holy. They're all things that Hashem says about the Jewish people. The second time, when it doesn't say lach, doesn't mean that Hashem is speaking about us. It just says Hashem spoke. Now, the Torah, when Hashem speaks the Torah, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Jewish people. So the second time when it says kasha diber, even though it doesn't say lach, what does it mean? Like he spoke to you. What's the difference of Hashem speaking to us and about us? About us is his business. He's telling us, he's telling the world about the Jewish people. He's telling even us about us. But it's about us. The second time when it says kasha diber, he's speaking to us because he wants us to do something. So therefore, from the difference of this, Rashi knew that that's the whole difference. The first pasuk is speaking about greatness of the Jewish people that Hashem has done. He has achieved it on its own. Second pasuk is speaking about the commandment for the Jewish people to be a holy people. For that reason, as we said earlier, Rashi doesn't want to say v'goy kadosh from Parshas Yisroi. Because v'goy kadosh, a holy people from Parshas Yisroi, that v'goy kadosh, as we said before, Hashem spoke about us, has nothing to do with us. Us doing. He waited for Parshas Kedoshim where it speaks about our work, and he says it. If so, we're still left with the question. If so, why does he wait to the end of Parshas Kedoshim? Why couldn't he say the first pasuk of Kedoshim? Kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. Or why doesn't he go in the end of Parshas Shemini where it says, V'yisem Kedoshim, you will be holy. There is also talking a commandment, we should be holy. How come he waits for the end of Kedoshim, the third time that it's mentioned? And the answer to that is, that's why Rashi quotes. It's exactly for that reason Rashi quotes the words, "Lihiyoscha am kadosh," you will, because you are a holy people. Kasha diber. Rashi wants to talk about holiness, where it emphasizes the Jewish people will be holy. The am, the whole nation is holy. Since it says over here that the Jewish people are a holy nation, that's why Rashi looks for the end of kedoshim. In the beginning of Kedoshim, when it says Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy, it's an individual commandment to every Jew to be holy. It's not talking about the Jewish people having it's incumbent upon Israel as a nation to be holy. It's every individual. Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. The same is also, every time it mentions holiness, in Vayikra, you can learn it as an individual commandment, not as a commandment for the people. Only time in which it is so clearly indicated that Hashem is asking us as a people to become holy is in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, because in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, let me read to you the pasuk that Rashi is quoting, V'yisem li kikadosh, V'yisem li kedoshim, you will be to me holy, kikadosh ani Hashem, that I am holy, V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, and I have chose you from the nations, li'osli. So that's why this is the first time we have Kedusha, a holiness, which is talking about the Jewish people being holy, and again, not a gift from above. Gift from above, Rashi doesn't want to say, because he derived from the pasuk that this is a holiness connected to our observance of mitzvahs, to our work. However, why does he wait for the third time? Because over here, it's a command, it's speaking about holiness of the Jewish people as a whole. Once we have the understanding and the careful analysis of what the pasuk is saying, that we're talking about two levels of kedusha. Two levels of specialty. Two levels of uniqueness. One of is the Jewish people are treasured by God coming from above. The other one is a kedusha connected to our work. The question becomes only one little idea and one little question, which is small but really is very significant, and that is, why is the commandment of being us making ourselves holy in the pasuk, the first pasuk, it says lishmar kol mitzvosof, to observe all the commandments. In continuation to that, it should have said liyoscha am kadosh, make yourself holy. Instead, that pasuk, the pasuk says observing your commandments in the first verse, speaking about Hashem's choosing the Jewish people as a treasured nation, and only in the second pasuk, where it says Hashem will make you exalted above the nations, it says, and you shall be holy. So if we're saying, based on this whole theory, on this whole idea, that this is a pasuk speaking about our avoda, it would imply, it would seem like, that making ourselves holy should have been together with lishmar kol mitzvosav, observing all of Hashem's mitzvahs. So therefore we have to say that these two psukim are speaking of two levels. Both of them are expressing two dimensions of the uniqueness of the Jewish people. One of them is that the Jewish people are a treasure to Hashem. Included in that is the observance of all my mitzvahs. The other level of the Jewish people, the other uniqueness of the Jewish people, is l'sitcha elyon al kol ha'goyim, that Hashem has made us superior to all the nations. And how do we express that? Ki am kadosh, that you are a holy nation to God. And we're talking about a holiness of our work. So what is this? What is the difference between these two levels of holiness? What is the difference between? What is it really? Why are these completely two different dimensions? The Jewish people being a chosen treasure by Hashem, and the holiness of Israel connected to our work. So the idea is like this. We see in the Haftorah this week, the Torah speaks about, you know, the parsha that we read is always connected to the Haftorah that we read. So the Haftorah this week speaks about the status of the Jewish people after Mashiach comes, and the manner in which the nations of the world are going to relate to the Jewish people. And the Haftorah says like this. It says how the nations of the world will all be mesmerized by the Jewish people. Let me quote a few of the psukim of the Haftorah this week. The nations will go to your light, and kings will walk to the brilliant light that will shine from Israel. The light of the Jewish people will give off such brilliance and such light, and that your shining brilliance will make kings will walk to that light. Then the pasuk continues, and it says how the nations will raise your children. And then the pasuk in pasuk 12 in pasuk Yud Beis, it says ki hagoy. No, let me see the pasuk 11, the pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. It says your gates of Jerusalem are going to be open all the time, and never be closed. Lahavi aleya chayil goyim, so that the wealth of nations should be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. Umalcheyem nuhugim, and their kings of the nations are going to lead the wealth of nations to the Jewish people. Ki hagoy is a very sharp pasuk. It says ki agoy, because a nation, v'hamamlocha, and a kingdom, asher lo yavducha, that will not serve you, yoyvedu, will be annihilated, v'hagoyim, and the nations, charev yachravu, are going to be utterly destroyed, those who will not want to serve Israel. It's a pasuk, which is very strange. Very strange. We know that Hashem has obligated nations of the world in their commandments. We are obligated in 613 commandments, and the nations have 7 commandments. Gentiles have 7 commandments. A non-Jew who doesn't keep his 7 commandments is punishable by death. That's as it is on the Torah. Today's days, of course, there's a lot of ignorance. When Mashiach will come, of course, the word of God is going to be known all over the world, and people who are willfully and happily going to accept to keep the 7 Noahide laws. I'm not in any way suggesting that today days every Gentile who doesn't keep seven mitzvahs should be put to death, because simply Jews too are not, Jews that are lost and don't know better are not obligated. So today's days, there's such confusion and such, it's not like we have the Jewish kingdom established in the land of Israel and a teacher that teaches and the whole world listens. So because of all the confusion and all the darkness, you can say the same concept of Tinik Shenishba, a child that has been taken into captivity when it was a child. So not everybody knows exactly the seven Noahid laws. It's our responsibility to teach it, Maimonides says. But we do know, Maimonides says, a Gentile who doesn't keep one of the seven Noahid laws is punishable by death. It's not one of the seven Noahid laws that the nations have to serve the Jewish people. What does the Navi mean when the Navi says, those nations who will not serve you will be utterly obliterated? Since when? Why is this their obligation? Why do nations have to serve Israel? And to say even more than that, that if they're not going to serve, they're not going to be, not going to exist. And the idea is related to the understanding the fundamental existence of Jew and non-Jew in the world. Jews are very uncomfortable with understanding that we're special. Jews just get very queasy, very, very unnerved when they hear that Jews are special. The problem is we cannot escape it. We cannot run away from it. We've been murdered for thousands of years because we're special. We might as well enjoy being special. We might as well acknowledge being special. But the Torah, the first lesson in the Torah, please, the first lesson in the Torah, when you open up Chumash and you read the first word, Bereishis, in the beginning, Rashi makes a comment. Rashi's our teacher. Rashi teaches us how to learn. You don't have to learn Chumash with Ramban. You don't have to learn Chumash with Or HaChaim or Balaturim or all kinds of other Pirushim. Rashi we have to learn. Without Rashi we have no clue what we're learning. And Rashi's not, there's a lot of mystical secrets in Rashi, like we've discovered so many times, a lot of hidden gems. But Rashi's always teaching on the most simplest level. And what does Rashi say? What does Bereishis mean? It's telling us the purpose of creation. Hashem created the world for two things that are called Reishis: the Jewish people and the Torah. God created the world for the sake of Israel and for the sake of the Torah. That means everything in the world has a purpose. Everything in the world. Trees have a purpose. All plants have a purpose. The very heaven and earth have a purpose. Clouds have a purpose. Angels have a purpose. Higher angels have a purpose. Brilliant angels that are shining with light all have a purpose. And non-Jews also have a purpose. Everybody's got their unique purpose. But the overall purpose of all of existence is to facilitate the Jewish people learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. We can't ignore that. We can't. The Torah says that's just the way it is. So we have to figure out. Sometimes people feel that makes us feel like we're arrogant, we're superior. It's all narishkeit. It's all ridiculousness. It's not about superior shmesperia. It's none of that. That's just ego. That's ridiculous ego. It's nothing to do with that. God has a purpose. Hashem loves tzitzis. He loves tefillin. He loves Shabbos. And he loves Israel. He loved the whole world. But his intention in creating the world was for mitzvahs and for the Jewish people. Therefore, if the entire existence... Now, in our world, until Mashiach comes, is a world of concealment. So things are not... The world is not displaying that it is a godly creation. So that's why our world today, things can exist even though they don't look like they belong to Hashem. Just like we spoke last week, there can even be Yetzer Hara. There can even be things that are totally antithetical to God and yet exist. Because now in our world, God is masquerading and he's hiding. And Hashem is not obvious. But when Mashiach will come and the lights will turn on and it will be a world of truth, that the pnimius, the essence of everything, will be revealed, it will be very clearly displayed that all existence, we will see that God created the world and we will understand God's interest in creation. So it will be very visible and tangible for everybody to see that everything in the world is for the sake of Israel and for the sake of the Jewish people. to learn for Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore, if somebody or something does not want to acknowledge that, they can't exist in Mashiach's world. In Mashiach's world, there can't be an existence of falseness. It's a world of truth. The truth will surface. If all of existence was created for the sake of Israel and for the sake of the Jewish people, everything in this world must acknowledge that. If there's somebody or something that doesn't want to acknowledge it, they have no room to exist, even though today they couldn't exist. So therefore, it doesn't have to be, it's not an obligation. It's not like, oh, all those who don't serve the Jewish people, chas v'shalom, will be put to death. That's not what it is. It cannot exist. It loses its existence, because since its whole purpose is for the Torah and for the Jewish people, it cannot exist without, if it's not realizing its purpose. How about the Jewish people? We might say and argue. The whole world is for the sake of Israel. And the Jewish people are for what sake? Why do we exist? We also have to have a purpose. What's our purpose? Our purpose is to serve Hashem. Of course, all people can serve God. But the main service of Hashem are the Jewish people, because for whatever reason, Hashem has chosen the Jewish people to serve Him. So the whole world serves the Jewish people, and the Jewish people serve God. When we say serve the Jewish people, again, I know it sounds, some people are like, well, and it does really rub. It's not serving us polishing shoes. Ridiculous. We're talking about enabling observance, making it comfortable, creating a world where Yidden can learn Torah and do mitzvahs undisturbed. And nations are happy to do that, because everybody admires Israel. And what do the Jewish people have to do? We have to serve Hashem. And the words of whoever it was, Kol ha'olam kulo eino nivra, the whole world was not created elisham sheni to serve me, v'ani nivresi, and I was created l'sham esheskoni to serve my Creator. So it's like it's a certain pyramid. Everything supports Torah and mitzvahs, and then there's Torah and mitzvahs, and there's the Jew here to serve God at the top, and everything is supposed to serve it. But really, this week's Torah portion teaches us something deeper than that. And that's why Hashem says, V'yisem li segula, you will be to me a treasured people. Treasured people tells us that the Jewish people exist beyond any purpose. Our existence is not to serve Hashem. That's something we do with all our heart and all our soul, but that's not our existence. Because that would mean we are contingent on something. We exist for something. The Jewish people don't exist for anything. Their existence is intrinsic and inherent in them themselves. Just like God Himself does not exist for a purpose, Hashem is because He is, because He's reality. So too, the Jewish people don't exist for a purpose. Our existence is as true as Hashem is. Our existence is absolute. Where do we see that? What does Rashi say on the words, V'yisem li segula? Not our Rashi. But Rashi over here points to Parshas Yisro. When it says, you will be to me a treasure. Rashi says over there, what does a treasure mean? So Rashi says, segula, Rashi says, let's listen to these words. Otzer chaviv, a precious treasure. K'moy segulas malachim, like a treasure of kings. Kli yakar, expensive vessels. Vavanim toivis, and precious gems. Shaha malachim goinzimoy, say that kings hide them. Kach, so too, atem tiyan li segula mikola amim. So too, you will be to me a treasure from all nations. So that's we're giving an example of a king's private treasure. Hashem says, you know what you are to me? You're my private treasure. What does Rashi say? What does the king do with the private treasure? He keeps it hidden. It's hidden and closed. So you wonder, hold it. Why does he need them? If he doesn't show it to anybody, if it's not there, you see, a king, shows his wealth. He has jewels in his crown. And then he has the crown jewel. We understand. That adds to his honor. That causes everybody to be awed by him. Everybody to fear him. Everybody to be mesmerized by his wealth and his power. The king decorates his palace. You see, when you come to visit the palace, you're completely captivated by the king's wealth and the king's power. But that's only in things that the king displays. But if there's a private treasure that is hidden away in a vault that is not even used to cause any kind of, it's not shown to the people, so what's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of these treasures? And the answer is, it doesn't have a purpose. It's not there to make the king more honored and respected and to display his kingship. It's just there for the king himself. The king goes in from time to time, he goes into his treasure and he delights in his wealth. He looks at these treasures and he gets full of delight. They're beautiful. They're exquisite. It's essential to who he is in his very private self. Beyond him being a king, relating to the outside, because whatever he needs for the outside, he displays. He puts it in his, and if it's very, very precious, he puts it in the crown. But the crown too is in order to impress others. But then there is what is private for him that makes him who he is. God has a private treasure, more precious than the crown jewel. And that is the souls of Israel. Our essence, even though we are very instrumental in revealing Hashem's kingdom in the world, making Hashem, proclaiming God's malchus, and it's our job to make God king in the world. But in essence, the Jewish people and Jewish people are God's delight. They exist beyond any purpose. Our souls are not here to do anything. We just are, and Hashem delights with the Jewish people like he delights with himself, because we are him, the other side of him. It's not for something. You'll ask a question and you'll say, hold it. The sages say, the Pasuk says, Ani nivresi, I was created l'shamesh eskoni, to serve my creator. So how can we say that the Jewish people, in essence, were not created for a purpose? And our existence is not for something? The answer is, Ani nivresi means our coming into the world, that is for a purpose. Our souls descending into the world is for a purpose, but not the soul itself. The soul itself pre-exists creation. The soul itself is before creation. And the soul is not... Of course we were created for a purpose. That's Hashem slips our soul down into the world. He channels, he brings our neshamas into creation. That we take on a physical existence in the physical planet is for a reason. But the essence of the Jewish soul that we all possess, even when we're creations, there's something deeper than us being a creation. And that is just we just are. And unrelated, even if we didn't do a thing, even if we totally wasted our life, a Jew is a delight. The very existence of the Jew is delightful to Hashem, and Hashem cherishes, Hashem plays, so to speak. This is his delight, this is his treasure. And that's the idea of segula. It's beyond any purpose. The Pasuk is saying over here that the Jewish people exists, therefore, on two levels, the preciousness of Israel. The first Pasuk is speaking about the Atem, that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, over here, that Hashem Hemircha, where is it over here in Parshas Kisavo, that Hashem has made us special. How has Hashem made us special? Hashem Hemircha Yoyim Lias Loy Liam Segula. You are a treasured people. On this level, we are way, 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 way beyond. It's not like the Jewish people are higher than the rest of the nations. It's a complete different entity, completely on a different scale. The rest of the world exists for a purpose. The Jewish people, their existence is beyond purpose. It just is. Kasha dibalach. And on this level, here's an interesting idea. The Pasuk says, Olishmar kol mitzvos, we observe all of Hashem's mitzvahs. The meaning of that we observe all of Hashem's mitzvahs over here, doesn't mean we're actually, of course, we're doing the mitzvahs. But the meaning over here is that because we are so such a delight and so of the essence of God, that automatically, whatever it's Hashem's mitzvah, whatever Hashem wants. I know there happens to be 613 mitzvahs, but there could have been a billion mitzvahs. And because the Jewish people are rooted in Hashem's heart and Hashem's very essence,
Any mitzvah Hashem wants, any desire, we do it. Why do we do it? Because it's us. We and Him are one. There's no separation at all. That's the meaning of Lishmar Kol Mitzvaysav in the first pasuk. Kol Mitzvaysav means all the mitzvahs, infinite mitzvahs, endless mitzvahs. It's a level of unity, a level of bonding, that whatever is Hashem's desire is our desire, because our souls are so embedded and so one with Him beyond any purpose. It just is. His desire, He and His desire are one. Any mitzvah will be performed. Then the pasuk continues, the next pasuk, speaking about the Jewish people as we descend into creation, as the Jewish soul descends into creation, then Hashem emircha l'sitcha elyon al kol ha-goyim. Then Hashem, and we emerge into creation, then Israel is above all the other nations. Because at our core essence, our existence is so essential, then when we come down into this world, it is l'sitcha elyon al kol ha-goyim, the nations in the world are, the Jewish people are higher than the nations, to the point where the nations of the world, when Mashiach comes, and today's days you see it already by certain groups of Gentiles, and that is that l'sehila, there is a praise for Israel, l'shem, there is it's an honor, u'l'seferes, and a beauty. And the Shach on the Torah says that Teferis means that the non-Jew recognizes that the name Yehudi, the name Jew, is like God's name. Is as honorable as Hashem's name in the world. Sadly, we're living in a world where that's not always reported in the news. But there are so many people, so many non-Jews in today's world that are so pure. And that feel and sense. We must have encountered people. They're so excited to meet a Jew. There are Jew haters in the world, a lot. It's almost like either or, either a Jew lover or a Jew hater. It's very, you can't like be just parav. But the Jew lovers that there are in the world, it's like a teferis. It's an honor. And then, am kodesh l'shem elokecha, and then you express your holiness. The holiness that we're talking about over here is a holiness related to once the soul is part of the creation and we take on a very human existence amongst human beings, amongst the nations, and our lives are as worldly as the nations around us, and yet we live with a certain holiness, with a certain sacredness. This level of holiness is holiness connected to living ordinary life. We're living physical life, physical existence, our bodies, we eat, drink, do all the physical things that people around us do. But as a Jew, we're supposed to do them with a certain elegance, with a certain refinement. It's a certain purity. And that purity is already, again, what we're talking about in this pasuk, we're talking about a holiness and an elevation related to the nations. Related to the nations. Connected to the nations and related to the nations. But the first pasuk is speaking about the Jewish people at their core essence. The souls of Israel, there's no comparison at all. It's on a completely different scale. More than not just the nations, more than all of existence. Because Yidden are gods and are essentially one with Hashem on a level beyond. And the lesson of all of this is how much, first of all, we should cherish ourselves. And even if we're sometimes down, and we feel like a miserable failure, and we feel like we have no business even being in existence, because we've been such a flop, we should know that the mere fact that we exist is delightful to Hashem. I might have had such a mess up day, and I might have done everything wrong, but the fact that I am alive and I'm in this world causes the entire creation to be delightful in God's eyes on a level far beyond any other delight. The fact that I am, that's it, number one. And more than that, what's a more important lesson is not about ourselves, but how much we should cherish and love every other Jew, every Jew. And it doesn't make, because this quality of Am Segula, of treasured people, every Jew has. It doesn't make a difference what their outside is. It doesn't make a difference what their level of observance, what the level of performance is. Because this is totally beyond duty. It's totally beyond anything we need. It just is. A Jew is beyond. A Jew is awesome. Nothing to do with what we do or think or say. It just is. And that is unbelievable. That is amazing.
And that is what the Baal Shem Tov taught us about Avos Yisrael. So we love, we cherish each other, we love and we care about each other, and with that we come to Rosh Hashanah with that preparation. And we love each other. That level of love and that level of depth is revealed in the world and revealed in front of Hashem. And Hashem, as a result of the Jewish people, of who we really are in our essence, accepts our coronation and excitingly re-engages in the project of creation, which, as we said before, is external in comparison to what's beneath it all, and that is his bond with Israel. But he does manifest and create a world in which he can display this unity and this love and this relationship, where we merit to experience that and see that with our eyes, mamish, now.
Kaini, Shimmer, oh,